Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to the Closing with Corey podcast. I don't know what episode this is going to be because I'm switching up the algorithm a little bit, and I'll talk about that in a second. As always, subscribe, like, comment, any of that stuff is always great just to be able to show up in more places. So always appreciate it. Secondly, you probably hear it. I am a little bit underneath the weather, which is why I'm doing one just as far as audio is concerned. And then, let's talk about it. So I have been doing this podcast now for a little bit over a year, not as consistent as I was, you know, setting out to be when it comes out to either every week or biweekly. But for the most part, though, I have been keeping up with the podcast. And more importantly, what I always was aiming to do was to be able to provide something of quality and not just quantity, and just putting out as many episodes as I could. Because in the beginning, I kind of felt like I was doing that. There was some topics that I was very interested in. There was topics that had a bunch of information that I wanted to be able to deliver, and I was breaking it up. And then after a while, I kind of just was looking at, okay, well, you know, what could I talk about this week? What can I bring up this week? What can I do this week? And then that's when I feel like the quality of the podcast started to come down a little bit. But then what I also did is I added another element to this podcast, which was starting to have guests on. And I started with Jay, and that episode was absolutely fantastic. And then I went in and I did an episode with a therapist who is also a good friend and also a previous client, Catherine. That was fantastic. I just did an episode with Alex from Remax and Style. That was amazing. And I shot another one with an agent, Claudia, which is probably either going to come out before or after this episode. So adding that element showed me a bunch of different things, one of which was that the conversations that I was having with other agents and with other people was, number one, for me, it was awesome just being able to sit down and talk with these people. But then also, two, a lot of the feedback that I was getting, and actually all the feedback that I was getting was positive, and a lot of it was informative and questions. And there was just a bunch of stuff that was coming up within those episodes with guests that I feel like it was opening up to a broader audience. Obviously, when I did these episodes, and then they would repost it, and then they would, you know, their friends and family would watch it. But I saw that as being another opportunity just to be able to connect with more people. And then also along that process is being able to have these great informative conversations with either professionals in this field or people that are related to this field, or just people in general that have some experience, whether it's, you know, the buying process, the selling process, investors. I just feel like it just opened up a huge range of conversations, and I'm really, really excited about that. So what I think I'm going to be doing is, instead of putting on that pressure onto myself, because I started to realize that a lot of what I was doing was I was almost forcing this pressure onto myself to say, okay, well, I need to have a really, really good topic, and then we're going to schedule it to be able to go in and shoot the video, and then I want to be able to make sure that I have at least, you know, one minute or 45 second or 30 second clip, which is going to be able to be the reel that I post. And then on top of that, I need a good, catchy thumbnail. All of these things that was taking away from what my main purpose was to deliver some great quality information. So I think that when it comes down to the video episodes, number one, they will always be the video episodes when I'm doing the episodes with guests. And then they're going to be a little bit more, I think, handpicked when it comes out to, or when it comes down to the information or the topic on that actual podcast. So the guys over at Media X, they're absolutely amazing. Ben, who I normally do all of my video episodes with, you know, to be able to add the text element and to be able to add like the things throughout the entire video that he does, which I'm very, very grateful for. I want to be able to make sure that in that I give him a lot to work with. So I'm still going to be doing the videos, and 100% we'll be doing the videos with all the guests, which brings me to my last point, is that I am looking to have a lot more guests on. I've had a ton of people that have reached out to me, and a lot of which I'm getting ready to start to schedule, and I'm getting ready to at least be able to start locking those people in to be able to get them on, whether it's a week or 2 weeks. Here's the other thing, too. Everybody's busy. If it's in this business, you know, it's not the easiest thing to be able to say, hey, do you have an hour to do the podcast? Because it's not an hour. It's the process of getting there, depending on where they're from. It's the process of preparing it ahead of time, having these conversations. I try to keep it as organic as I possibly can. And I tell all the people that I invite on the same exact thing, is that I like to keep it very, very natural. I don't want to really go over too much when it comes down to talking points, or too much when it comes down to, you know, the questions and stuff that I'll be asking. I want to have them have an idea of what I'm going to ask, what I'm going to talk about, and what we want to cover, just so they're prepared in that sense. But I don't want it to have like this like slideshow type of vibe, to where it's like, okay, here's the first question, here's what we're going to talk about, here's the second question, here's the third question. And a lot of them are a lot more easy flowing, and a lot of them are, as you see, they are very organic, and I love them. I love the idea of bringing people on to be able to talk about that. I'm grateful for everyone that has been on so far. You guys absolutely killed it. And also, you know, birthed this passion to be able to have more people on and to have more meaningful conversations. I also had Alfonso on as well, too. I don't want to obviously forget about him. Actually, while we're talking about this, just to make sure I don't forget about anybody, let me see who else I've had on here. I think that was it. I said Alex, which was the most recent one. Claudia, which is not out yet. Catherine, which is the therapist, along with a good friend, along with a buyer and a seller that I worked with. And obviously Jay, and then Alfonso. Cool. Awesome. So I'll be having a lot more people on. That was kind of just like the beginning process of just getting that information started. And then on to this episode. This episode is more so of just like, you know, these audio episodes will be more of an open dialogue for myself. You know, those episodes in the studio are going to be great conversations with the guests that I have on, along with those very kind of important, broad topics that we'll be discussing on that. These are going to be more, you know, free-flowing, open dialogue about, you know, whether it's going to be the status of the market, whether it's going to be about stuff that I'm dealing with new listings, with buyers, just information in general, which brings me to where I think the overall idea of this one will just be the quality of it. I want to keep the quality at a sustainable level, and I think, you know, the way of doing that is just being able to monitor how I am approaching these episodes. And that's kind of the point of what I wanted to get across there. Outside of that, you know, the market and the people that are asking me, I feel like it's the same questions over and over again. You know, what's going on with the market? How is the inventory? How are the rates? Which all that can easily be looked at and be seen. Actually, you know what? Today, right now, I'm recording this on Monday, May 13th. So I don't know when I'll be able to put this one out. But let's check out what the mortgage rates are for today. Right now, based off of a quick Google search, we're looking at a 30-year fix at 7.625, which is a little bit high. So rates a little bit higher. Inventory, as you've been seeing, is staying at a little bit of a lower level, a lot lower than a lot of the buyers, at least that I'm working with, would like to be seen. Another big thing, too, is that, you know, I'm never one to try to sell any buyers or try to sell any sellers as far as time frame wise. To me, the biggest thing is whenever you're ready, whatever you're most comfortable with. I've said it probably 1,000 times on here. Just know that, you know, going based off of just media outlets or just going based off of information that you are probably just obtaining from headline news, maybe, or just whatever it is. And unless you're doing this day in and day out, 100% reach out to somebody, whether it's me or if it's the lender that you're working with or the agent that you're working with, and get a really good idea plan-wise when it comes out to, you know, on the buying side, for instance, because right now, it does not look like the rates are going to drastically change anytime soon. So that's going to be something to kind of keep in mind, is that if people are waiting for the rates to come down, you may be waiting for something that's just not going to happen in the near future. So with that being said, you know, trying to pivot and adapt to that and adapt to what the market is providing and then be able to have a plan is going to be the best situation for you and the best scenario for you. So talk with your people, get a plan going on. I've talked about that before. It's all about the plan and it's all about the people that you work with. And that's going to kind of be the theory behind all of this all the way until God knows when. But that's super, super important, is to have a trustworthy team to say, hey, if you buy at this rate right now, you know, a lot of people will say about refinancing down the road, or the lenders that use the phrase, I forget what it is. It's marry the house, date the rate, whatever it is. But regardless of the way that you advise your clients, at the end of the day, the bigger picture is that this isn't set in stone. I know that it is not the best scenario right now for the rates and where they're at, but by all means, I guarantee you that down the road, it is going to be another way as far as what will ultimately work in your favor, or the best case scenario, I should say, because I can't really predict what's going to happen, whether it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. But along with that is the idea that the values are also still continuing to go up. Let's see what the home value. The values are for 2024, the home values, looking at a couple, this is NJ.com, this is Zillow. They kind of have different numbers, but it looks like it's anywhere between the fact that the homes have increased from 2020 into 2024, 9%, 9.4%, 9.8%. So they're still up. The values are still up. That was the other question going into this year, was what's going to happen with the values, what's going to happen with the rates. Values are up, rates are up, and whatever you need to take from that and kind of figure out what the best scenario is going to be. Outside of that, the other thing that I wanted to talk about on the selling side, and I've probably have covered this before, but I'm currently in the middle of a couple of scenarios when it comes down to listings. And I don't want to say issues with any of the listings, but I do want to just say things that are all of like the behind the scenes stuff. A lot of the listing appointment is going to be based off of sellers asking, hey, how much can I get for my home? And that's a very valid question to have for any listing appointment, obviously. And then also too, you know, sellers are going to bring up, you know, commission rates. And I know that going into July, that's another conversation for another time. I already did the episode on that. But also too, like, I know that I talk about this a lot, but a lot of that listing appointment and a lot of the information that a seller is digesting also has to be kind of pointed out for the behind the scenes information. And what I mean by that is that, listen, staging for me is fun. It's a time to be able to transform a house because I want to make sure that it looks the absolute best for pictures. I think that I have OCD, and I think that that's something that sometimes works in my favor just because I want to make sure that everything is perfect. And as I say that, meaning as perfect as it could possibly be. I just want to make sure that everything is good. Outside of that, when it comes down to the listing appointment itself, listen, the home value, sellers, even in this market, even with the values being up, even with the rates being up for the buyers, and there's still being a lot of buyers that are out there and the inventory being down, you have to trust your professional real estate agent. And what I mean by that is that You know, I do this day in and day out. In the morning, I'm looking at the new listings. I'm assessing how it was. You know, Monday mornings is always going to be crazy for anyone in this business. I'm looking at, okay, you know, how was my listings? How was my open houses? What's the feedback? Are there a final and best? What was the feedback from the showings? How are the other listings that are comparable to mine? How did they do this week? And are they under contract? Or did they accept offers? I am constantly in this environment and having these conversations and talking with the agents who are on the other listing side. This is a day in and day out. Sellers, I understand that, you know, whether it's, you know, family members or neighbors or friends, you know, everybody is going to have an opinion on what you could list your home for, what you should list your home for. You know, what did this house sell down the road, regardless if it was last week or 3 years ago? There's a lot of people with a lot of different opinions. The biggest thing with that is that I will take all that into consideration, but I'm always going to tell you what is going to be the best based off of the market data and also based off of, you know, the current situation. So depending on how many homes are quote unquote competition for your particular listing will also kind of depend on where we want to be at. And then obviously just the market itself, where you're at, the area that you're going to be at. All of that is taking into consideration. Don't go off of the Zestimate. Don't go off of, I Googled it and I saw this. Don't go off of, oh, you know, my neighbor across the street actually thinks that it should be at this price point. Listen to what your agent is trying to deliver to you. So then this way, you are going to be set up for the best possible situation when it comes out to the actual listing day. And then regardless of all that, regardless of what I say, regardless of what you think, regardless of what the neighbors think, regardless of what your friends and family think, who's really going to be able to show you what your home is worth is, at the end of the day, the market and the buyers, what they are going to be willing to pay for your home. So that is another conversation for another time, as far as how what the buyers are going to be looking to pay, comparing to and how that correlates with the actual listing price. And if an agent is good at their job, they should be able to show you a resume as far as like, hey, here's what I listed it at, and here's what it sold at. And it's either hopefully going to be at 100% or over 100%, meaning that it went over the listing price. That's a very, very good point to bring up to any agent. If you're interviewing multiple agents or if you're talking with multiple agents, you should be able to see their track record when it comes out to, what did you list it at? What did it sell at? Did you have to do a price adjustment? Did you, did it sell for underneath the asking price? Which, you know, in this market isn't something crazy. It could easily happen, and I've seen it happen before. If so, how much underneath the asking price did it get listed, or did it sell for? All of that will be taken into consideration. So what the market and what buyers are going to be willing to pay is going to be a huge factor into that conversation. Outside of that, and outside of listing price, is all of the behind the scenes stuff that happens after that big day happens, which is the listing day. So it is not a time for the list it and leave it agents in the sense of, my job is done here. And I'm not saying that, you know, I even know any agents like this, but it's not saying like, okay, pictures are done, it's on the MLS, the showing time is set up, and let me just step back and kind of just let the market do its thing. I don't think that it is anywhere near that time frame anymore, which it was, you know, back in the 2020, 2021 time. I think it's a lot more of attention that's going to be needed for all of these sales. And what I mean by that is that I'm going through a few listings right now, and a lot of them is a lot of fine tuning the offers that come in. And a lot of it is the conversations behind the scenes with the other agents and talking with the lenders and just trying to, when I say make it work, I don't mean that's not going to be in the best interest of whoever I'm representing. I just mean that there's a lot of information and there's a lot of patience that's needed to be able to explain these things that are going on, because you have so many moving parts in this and you have so many people that are involved, whether it's the lender and what they need or the attorney and how they view things and the sellers, the buyers, the agents, the emotions that comes along with it. especially in what is an emotional transaction, because emotions, you know, do play a part on this. Not everyone, you know, if they're an investor or, but even with that though, I feel like even in that scenario, if it's an estate sale, or if it is a bank owned property, there's going to be still some sort of emotion there outside of just the value and the number and the cost wise that's associated with all these things that we're talking about. So I think that that's very, very important. And I think that's also very important to kind of keep in mind for the sellers that are looking to interview agents and also looking to think about what questions I could potentially ask these agents. Because on the back end, whether it's inspection issues or even the scheduling of inspection issues, you know, inspections are something that no matter what, they're going to happen in a transaction, and that's going to be the portion where I feel like the true colors are going to come into play. Now, I always set a very realistic scene for anybody that I'm working with, and the scene that I set is that, listen, there's a very good chance. Now, 99.999% of the time, there's going to be an inspection. Okay, there's going to be an inspection involved with this particular property. Okay, perfect, awesome. Outside of that, the question is going to be when that comes in, even if it says as is, even if it says, oh, we are limiting inspections to major structural, environmentally, safety issues, whatever the wording is, however the attorneys kind of bend it and move it and do what they need to do, this is when the emotions come in. This is when it comes into play to where if these buyers are at a point in their budget where they're at the top of their budget, and not every single buyer, I don't want to lump every buyer into this, but if they're at a point to where they are paying what they feel like is top dollar, the emotions come into play to where it's like, well, this should be a brand new home, and that's not the case. And then trying to then relay that to the sellers, which is like, well, I thought that the inspections were going to be only for this, which is 100% true. And don't get me wrong. Sellers can easily say no for everything or anything, depending on, you know, the situation. Obviously, like if something like radon comes back high, you're going to have to address that. If something fails with a septic system, or if the well has something that comes back, you're going to want to address those things. Now, electrical issues, and now this is the part of it of just venting, and I appreciate anyone that is listening and still listening, because I'm sure my voice with my being a little bit under the weather is not the easiest to listen to, so thank you. But with these inspections, inspectors are going to do their job, which is, let me tell you everything that's wrong with the house. Electrical stuff-wise, they're going to say, hey, this switch needs to be changed out. And basically if it doesn't, it could potentially burn your home down. That can then correlate or translate to a $5 switch from Home Depot and a 5-minute job from an electrician, right? So how that information gets delivered, where they're at, as far as budget wise, because all of that plays a part. Because listen, buyers don't have it the easiest right now. They're dealing with over asking offers, they're dealing with having to, you know, say, screw it, the rates are what they are, and I'm going to have to push forward, and then, you know, what's it called? Refinance down the road when rates get a little bit better. Okay, perfect. But right now, having this inspection paper in front of my eyes, I don't like what I'm seeing. So that then is going to be taking that emotional factor in a little bit and say, okay, well, in that case, I want this, 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 and this fix, which they have every right to put out, and the seller is going to respond back however they're going to respond. Now, as an agent, is it your job to kind of negotiate this? Yes and no. But if you are good at your job and if you care for your clients, you're going to do the best that you possibly can. And with that comes the difficulty of trying to be understanding of everybody's emotion that's involved in this, and trying to, for a second, separate those emotions from the logic of what's being talked about. It's like, okay, I get it. You're here. Okay, sellers, I get it. You're here. Now let's have this conversation on these items. What is realistic as far as, or what's reasonable as far as what they're talking about, and things that you guys didn't even know, because you, if you knew, you would have disclosed it. So let's talk about this. Then having that conversation is very, very important, because sometimes if you leave it up to the attorneys who, and I'm sorry, attorneys, but if it's going to be a very black and white conversation, that's not going to then translate to an agreement. It's just going to be, well, here's what my people want. Well, here's what my people want. Here's what my people want. Well, no, they want this. Okay. Where does the logic come into play? And I know a lot of great attorneys also that, you know, provide that extra bit of that service, which is, let me explain to you where the biggest conversation with the seller when it comes down to inspections is this going to be an issue for any other buyer who's buying your home, right? Like these minor electrical things, okay, we can kind of get around that. I don't think that's going to be the biggest issue, but oh, the septic failed. Now listen, that's going to be something that we have to disclose now, because we have an unsatisfactory septic report that now we know that it's unsatisfactory. So now we have to update everything and disclose that. Or these people are being reasonable in the sense to where they just want this and this fixed. They're not asking for a brand new septic. So let's do that. And then those conversations are easy. Those are where it's like, okay, there's logic on both sides. Everyone's being reasonable. For the ones that, you know, are potentially, I don't want to say unreasonable, but if they are, you know what? Yes. If they're being unreasonable or more so unrealistic, those are the ones where it's like, now when we go back and we say no, what is our reasoning behind that? And is it just simply because these are very minor issues and we already said that minor isn't going to be part of the inspection conversation? Absolutely. We could do that. And we have a lot to go off of, but the behind the scenes is all of this. All of this isn't on the behind the scenes. Speaking with the lenders, making sure that they have everything that they need, coordinating for the appraisal stuff, talking with the appraiser. Hey, this is not the easiest time for appraisers as well too, because if you have a home that's $50,000, $70,000, $150,000 over asking, who do you have representing you that's going to be able to make sure that you're not going to potentially lose out on the opportunity to not have to bring more money to the closing table? That's going to kind of be on the agent to say, hey, I'll meet with you, and also I want to share with you a couple of comps. I'm sure you obviously know the area. Maybe the appraisal is coming, or the appraiser is coming from a place that they're not 100% familiar on the area, and they're going based off of all of their online research. That's also going to be something too to think about. Inspection wise, the coordinating that, talking with the other agents, you know, being able to represent your client the best way possible adds into the element and adds into the reason why, you know, that should be your agent. You know, when all of this is going on, and when the offer gets accepted and you accepted an offer $80,000 over asking for your seller and they're riding this high, those conversations are the easiest. It's the conversations that say, hey, they're asking for a $10,000 credit for this, or they're asking for X, Y, and Z, or those are the conversations that really, really build the character that I've learned over time, and I've learned how to have those conversations, just because I, you know, the experience is what brings the ease and the confidence in these conversations to be able to say, hey, let me talk to you about this, or hey, here is what has happened in the past. Here is what to expect. So laying out a realistic playing field is going to be the most important thing. And I kind of say that in the sense to where Mondays, and anyone in this business, and I'm sure other businesses as well too, you realize on Monday kind of how your week is going to go. And you can kind of have an idea based off of your Saturday and Sunday, but Mondays are normally going to be a very, very good layout for how is my week going to go. And, you know, for me, whether it's my first call is at 9 or 6:30 in the morning or 12, I kind of get a sense of what's going on, and I kind of get a sense of how things are going to pan out. And I know that for this day, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I have to put on my patience cloak, and I have to be able to go out there and understand where these people are coming from and understand that they're also starting off their week not knowing that this letter was going to come from the attorney, not knowing that this inspection report was going to come in, not knowing that we weren't going to hear back from a person that we were waiting to hear back from. You have to be able to play all of these parts, and you have to be able to play them simultaneously, and you have to be able to play them almost to perfection to be able to make sure that you are on top of your game. Because if you're not, that could cost your buyers the property. That can cost your sellers the contract. That there's a lot of downside if you're not on top of what needs to be focused on. And I try my best to do that. I try my best to be on top of as much as I possibly can be. And that's all we really can do. So this week is a lot more so about the quality conversation, the quality of my podcast, the quality of the content, the quality of the topics that I discuss, and then also how that also relates to the quality of the agent that you ultimately choose. Buyers to represent you to be able to purchase a home, and sellers that represent you in order to be able to sell your home. It really, really comes down to that. And I know it almost sounds like, you know, redundant, or it just sounds like something that's like, yeah, obviously the quality of the agent. But what factors into that quality? And a lot of it is all the stuff that agent is doing, not only to then, you know, for the pictures and for the social media posts and the just listed and the videos and all the stuff that I love doing. It's really when things start to get a little bit rocky is where the quality of the agent is going to really shine through. And that ultimately all boils down to the relationships and being able to really come from a position of saying, I truly want the best for this person. And if that means walking away from this deal, or if that means canceling this deal with this buyer, then so be it. We'll do that. And that's not something as far as time wasted. You know, I get it on the selling perspective where it's like we wasted all this time, and I totally understand that. But we're not going to get anywhere with this. So we can either continue to waste time, or we're going to do what's best for you, which is going to be either relisting it, talking to the backup offers, having these conversations. That's going to put you in the best situation. On the buying side, same thing. You know, yet did we potentially waste money on inspections and fees and all these things? Yeah, we did. But that's also part of the buyer due diligence, right? So now we know going into the next one, kind of maybe what to expect, and not that our hopes were up, but we understand where this process is and how to kind of navigate this process to be able to make sure that we can obviously get to the end of it and the end of that journey, which is becoming a homeowner on the buying side. So all of that plays a huge factor. All of that is going to be something that is going to be super, super important for the remaining of 2024. I don't even want to think about 2025 yet. So just think about that. And also to kind of just finish it off again, thank you so much for everybody that's been reaching out. Thank you to the guests that I've been having on. You guys, it's awesome. I'll end with this. You know, a few people have asked me why a few people have asked me why I am so persistent to have other agents on the podcast, you know, and like, oh, like, why would you want to have a platform for somebody else who is essentially a competing agent? And why would you, you know, want to have these people talk about how good they are at their job when, you know, it's your podcast or whatever the case may be? Because I value, number one, the relationships in this business. I think that this is a great way that I've been able to talk with a bunch of people. You know, Alex and I really just had like a social media type of friendship where, you know, saw him on stuff. He liked my stuff. I liked his stuff. But then being able to meet with him and find out about what he did prior to real estate and being a teacher and all these things is like, you know, like that's a great relationship, and that's a great added friendship, not only in this business, but in general. And then on top of that too, if I can learn something from any of these people, which I feel like I easily can, whether it's, you know, someone like Jay, who's my mentor, someone like Al, who's in the mortgage industry, someone like Catherine, who is a professional of I don't want to get it wrong, but when it comes to therapy and dealing with things and emotions and all these things, Alex, you know, Claudia, all the people that are amazing at what they do. If I'm able to learn something from that, that's fantastic. I don't look at that as a loss, or I don't look at that as like, oh, I'm just, you know, promoting. No, we're just talking about this business, and we're talking about the behind the scenes stuff of what I just discussed in this podcast, which I don't think is really talked about enough. And it also allows people to understand like, hey, we're human as well too. This isn't a paycheck for me or for any of the other people that I've had on. This isn't something where it's like, oh, cool. You know, sorry, you wasted your time. Like, you know, it is what it is. Move on to the next one. No, there's emotions on our side as well too that is added into every single client that we work with, buying, selling, whatever the case may be. So I'm grateful that these people want to come on and have a conversation with me, and I'm grateful for the people that will be coming on are also reaching out, and I think it's an awesome community, and I'm excited to be able to grow upon that and to be able to have this outreach be able to pour out to more people. So anybody that wants to hop on, reach out to me, let me know, let's have a conversation. As always, I appreciate you guys. If you listen to this whole thing, thank you so much for dealing with my sinus congestion, nasally voice. Hopefully by next week, I'll be feeling a little bit better, and we'll take it from there. But thank you guys so much. Whenever I do post this, I hope you guys have a great week. I may even post this tomorrow, to be honest with you. So then this way, once the episode with Claudia is done being edited, I'll be able to get that set for next week. So hope you guys have a good week. I will talk to you soon. Thank you.